This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Welcome back to Kelly and Company. Ramya Amadhin at the home studio in Toronto. Kelly McDonald at the home studio in London, Ontario. I almost, Rum, asked Michael what his process is for keeping track of time for the segment because it was so perfect as you guys were talking.
It was really good, yeah.
I was afraid it would become question, you know, B of two or something when next time next week that he... The process I have for keeping track of time is this program... Because Michael's just so on it with everything.
Yeah.
I know he's got something to make sure to keep him honest with the time and moving along because it's just... He handled that so well. The only time he gets sidetracked is when the hosts start asking questions. We were good today.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
We were.
Not that we didn't have quite... We were just good. We looked and said, there's a lot of cool stuff we better let him get to. Oh, I know you love that when we do that, particularly with sports. So let's not keep Brock waiting. We better get to it so we can get in all the sports we can. Let's welcome in Brock Richardson.
As a former athlete, I eat, sleep, and breathe everything sports. I'm Brock Richardson. Join me every Monday for your weekly sports highlights and our take on the weekend action.
You can also join Brock as the host of The Neutral Zone. He's producer of the program as well, Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern right here on AMI Audio, also available as a podcast. Brock, welcome back. What's our leadoff item today?
So, it's kind of a lengthy leadoff item because
Can you get through it without all that crying that you were doing Saturday night?
Oh my gosh.
I'm so sorry. Actually, you know what? I'm not that sad. We'll get into why.
Tears falling.
Okay. So, in order not to get sidetracked, let's talk about the first thing is that Peter DeBoer is gone as coach of the Golden Knights. I sincerely hope they did it better than they did to Gerard Gallant. They didn't give him a cab. He got his own cab and made his way out. I hope that the Golden Knights have learned how to more classily get rid of their coaches as opposed to letting them fend for themselves. But I digress. So this is a sad day for DeBoer. Good coach, but just struggled this year with Vegas. They lost games they probably shouldn't have lost down the stretch. They won games they probably shouldn't have. It just was an up and down season. But again, I think they've overachieved for a long, long time. Being in the Stanley Cup final for their first year a couple of years ago was just way overachieved. So I think now we're seeing a Vegas come back down to a bit of earth in this regard. My second leadoff item is to tell you that we are now down to two Canadian teams in the playoffs. We'll discuss their series in a bit, but I wanted to chat about the Toronto Maple Leafs, who Kelly seems to believe that I was crying on Saturday night, which I was not, over the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I want to put it out there that I thought Toronto had a really good series. I don't want to sound like a guy who, oh, you're a fan of the team, this, that, and the third thing. Because I am a fan, but I also can be a realist as well. They played a team that has won the Stanley Cup twice back-to-back already and going to be potentially a third one, to be perfectly honest with you. They are a good team, and they know what they're doing. I think Toronto really lost the series in Game 6. I think that if they had the opportunity, they should have done it in the non-elimination game, which was Game 7, because Toronto has a history of doing what they've done. And on the flip side of that, when you look at Tampa Bay, they know what they're doing in Game 7. You gave them that extra little leeway, and they jumped all over it. And the other question becomes with Toronto is, what do we do next? Well, you could blow this team up, as some fans would like to happen, or you could take pieces of this team and send them off and get something different and change the shape of this team. I think both of these could be true. I think you could look at both sides of the coin and say, well, you could blow this up, or you could take pieces of this team and just take the core and just kind of separate them a little bit. I'm looking at Nylander as one and potentially Marner as the other. Maybe you move one of those pieces and add something. I don't know. But then there could also be the argument of we took them to a 7-game series, but Toronto Maple Leaf fans don't want to hear that, as they've been 0-10 in elimination games over the last decade and a bit in elimination games. So lots of sad news in Leafland, but take away the good in the series that we just had.
Brock didn't cry. That was the good. What if you, in your mind, what piece could you add? I mean, and I don't mean let's just pick any player from a team and make a fantasy team. I mean, where is the problem? We talked about Game 7, like you said. We talked about the fact that Tampa, you know, these are Stanley Cup winners. This is the series that a lot of people said, just like we talked about Milwaukee and Boston. Boy, I wish I could see this series later. You know, it's going to be the best one of the playoffs. Wouldn't you say in entertainment, and I don't know how much of the other series you watched, and I'm asking this kind of as a sort of marginal NHL fan of these days, a little more than I was, is there anything, Brock, other than rolling that team out and saying, okay, they're maybe not the strongest team in the league, the best team, the most complete team. Well, let's roll them out the same way again. I don't know what you do for them. Maybe, like you said, shuffle positions. Maybe move Marner. Maybe make them center. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to be honest with you, Kelly, I don't know if you do anything other than run this team out again and say, let's see how this goes. Obviously, there's going to be some pieces that are going to move. What I'm referring to is maybe you leave the core alone the way it is. Maybe you're totally okay with that. This, to me, feels like the year where the Toronto team looks at each other in the mirror and says, this one hurts more than any of the other ones. Because in any of the other series we've watched this team, we can say, oh, well, they played garbage in this game. They played garbage in that game. They didn't really play consistently like garbage in any point in the series. It literally went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And if you went based on what should have happened, based on what had already happened, Toronto should have won Game 7 because it was their turn to win if you look at that as a whole. I would be totally perfectly okay if this team got run out for the most part the same way they did this year. I don't think it's Sheldon Keefe's fault. I don't think it's general manager Kyle Dubas. I certainly don't think it's Shanahan's fault. I don't think any changes need to happen there. I think those front office people did what they needed to do to put this team in the best of success. I literally think it was between the ears for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and maybe this year was the one that's going to push them over the edge for next year. And I know May is a long way away for next year in order to talk about this, but that's my true feeling. All right, let me ask you guys this question. Do you guys know where your next job's going to be, even though you currently are sitting behind mics at a Kelly and Company here, knowing what you're doing now and probably quite comfortable? Do you know where your next job's going to be?
Couch tester. Oh,
yeah,
that's a
I'll
good one.
I'll be testing my couch and just staying there with the Sonos.
Yeah. No, he definitely does. I have a few different options. Candy tester, chocolate tester, and...
Just become a high-priced consultant.
Well, I was going to say, you can always hire me, Kels, if anything were to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm too cheap.
You should have known.
So fair there's enough. Your answer, Richardson.
Well, how about you, Brock?
I have no idea where my next job's going to be. And in the scenario that I'm going to paint for you, this is not how I would be doing things. But it was announced late last week that Tom Brady, who is currently playing for the Buccaneers, has already signed his future job. And he's going to be an analyst with Fox Sports. And he's going to make in and around, ready for it, $300 million. The only thing that's left to know is the date in which he's going to start with this new job because why? He's still playing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I can't even imagine being like, yeah, okay, so I'm good enough to be over there, but I'm still going to keep my toe over here. And by the way, why don't you pay me $300 million to boot and I'll just sign the start date when I'm good and ready to do that. It's just crazy to me.
He's
crazy.
He's got all sorts of mad money to hire you, Rumya. Man, the guy might just hire you just to hire you. I'm just hiring you to do something. You know, Brock, I don't see it as far-fetched because I've heard these conversations when, like Tony Romo, they were talking about what would he, Tony would be good in the booth before he stopped playing.
Yeah, but did they literally tell him what he was going
to
make?
If the and guy then basically wanted to, they would have, because these networks want to sew people up right away to them.
And
because then they can talk about it. Sort of like McDonald's getting the rights to have to put the first McDonald on the moon. Like that was bought years ago because we've got mad money here.
Is it more that it's already public news that, you know, is the woe part of this?
Yeah. I just... For me, it's just we put it out there. The only thing missing is the date in which you're going to start. That's where I'm just like,
somebody's got to know that he's good enough too. I mean, analysts that like, there's no question.
You would have to.
Well, and I like the way some of these guys are coming out as an analyst. Now, again, I don't know NFL inside out either. Not like, you know, I can follow. I'm pretty good. But these guys, some of the things that they discuss and teach you as you're watching the game, they're able to teach the marginal fan, I think, even. They're not talking too out of your depth. And it's like, oh, I get that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy, crazy.
So I'm going to make an executive decision here. We only have a couple of minutes left. So can we move to the conversation around the Blue Jays and the New York Yankees? This confusing situation for fans. What happened?
Yes. And you read my mind because I wanted to go here. Jimmy Garcia was on the mound and hits Josh Donaldson in a game where the game was tied. Garcia subsequently gets tossed because he allegedly intentionally did this. Charlie Montoyo came out and contested. Pete Walker also gets tossed in this situation. Now, where this is a little bit confusing was that automatically Charlie Montoyo is supposed to get suspended. He did not. Why? I believe because MLB understood, look, we made a mistake here, because the umpire in question came over to Shai Davidi, who was the pool reporter at the time. So it can be anyone from any network that can be in the pool reporter. And he said, why'd you do that? And he said, to de-escalate the situation. Well, I think the umpire did nothing but escalate the situation.
He did.
Because Josh Donaldson and our catcher had some heated words. Well, I can't tell you how many times people on a field have had heated words. I think the umpire inserted himself in that situation and it was just uncalled for. And MLB basically made it right by saying, look, we're not going to suspend either of you, even though in the rule book, this is what we're supposed to do, which brings up, you know, ownership on the league. The only thing it doesn't change is who won or lost the game, because if Garcia stayed in, you don't know what might have happened there. It threw everyone for a loop. And to me, it was a bad example of umpiring.
Yeah, Josh Donaldson didn't think for a moment it was done on purpose.
No.
It was definitely clearly a de-escalation or like you say, Brock, inserting oneself. And I think that question's coming up a lot of time with how much do refs and umpires change the course of games and not just doing the call. You'd swear sometimes, oh, I'm on TV. Okay, man, let's do something. I want people to remember me today. Not a good thing. And because we don't hear the result of what happened, we know that they must go down and be told, look at that again, which I'm sure they did. And then how do you make it right? Just like when they miss a clear strike and call it a ball, they do a give back in some way sometimes. You know, we can't expect them to be perfect, but that was just an egregious embarrassment.
Oh, 100%. It was egregious and embarrassing.
Thanks, Brock. We'll talk to you next week. We won't talk to you next week. Rumya was supposed to remind you of that. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks for sports. You can find Brock on the Neutral Zone Fridays at 4 p.m. Eastern right here on AMI Audio. Coming up next, Vancouver reporter, TV reporter Grant Hardy. He's going to talk to us about what's coming up tonight, gaming-wise, on AMI This Week.
The Walrus is Canada's conversation, and you're invited to take part. Download AMI's Voices of the Walrus, where professional narrators read selected articles from the magazine. Available wherever you download your AMI podcasts.